Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Yeah, today we get together to celebrate the cross. We call it Good Friday, even though at the surface level of what you see this day, it looks like the worst day in human history. It's the day that we found the only innocent man guilty. He was not a man, he was fully God, but he was also fully man, and we found him guilty, releasing in his place a violent insurrectionist, Barabbas. And then we proceeded to beat him and mock him and watch and put him on a cross almost naked and with a title, the King of the Jews, which was an accurate title, but it was meant to make fun of him. And there we watched him die. So why do we call today good? Sounds pretty rough. We call it a Good Friday because it's really good for us. We needed it. Humanity was not, things with humanity were not looking so good. Sometimes we think of the good old days. How many of you have said, I want to go back to the good old days? You have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden to hit the good old days. Like honestly, you look at our world today and you look through the Old Testament and you see what sin has done, caused brokenness and sickness and suffering and pain and division between God and man. We have not experienced the good old days since then. And so Jesus steps onto the scene and is born of a man, God and man, and he offers his life on the cross. And he essentially gets what we deserve. The punishment that we deserve was put on him. And the life that he deserved is given to us. This is what many have called the great exchange. And that's the title of my message today, The Great Exchange. And that's what we're going to be doing today in just a little bit after I'm done. I'll have a short message today because the highlight, I believe, is as we are going to write our sins and our brokenness and sicknesses and infirmities on a little piece of paper that you have in your seat backs. And we're going to bring it to the sea of forgetfulness here. There's a few seas of forgetfulness. We're going to lay that there and then we're going to take the bread and the juice. But I want to just start talking today about what exchange was made at the cross. What did we deserve? What did Jesus take on? Because I want to prep us for this moment of exchange this morning. Ultimately, we deserve to be charged as guilty. In Psalm 7, verse 11, it says, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is just and he has a righteous anger towards sin. It's not an off-the-cuff anger, it's a calculated anger, but he has a righteous anger towards sin, and he is a judge that judges justly. And so if you have a judge that judges justly and you're guilty, the judge won't say, I'll just let you off the hook for fun today. That's not being a just judge. And so we essentially were guilty in our sin. But in Romans 8 verse 3, we see how it says that by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That word means judged. The punishment of sin, the judgment of sin was condemned in the flesh of Christ. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God on the cross, sin was judged in the flesh of Jesus, so that today through the blood of Jesus' sacrifice, the Bible now says that we're justified, that he canceled the legal debt that was against us. We were condemned, we stood condemned, and now God can justly say through the blood of Christ, you are innocent. You starting to see why this is a Good Friday? It's a Good Friday. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before this moment, man did not have peace with God. You could think you're pretty tight with God, but without the blood of Jesus, there was not peace. Because again, God is a God who has righteous anger towards sin, and sin must be judged. And so we were children of wrath, deserving of the wrath of God. And in Psalm 75, it talks about the wrath that God has against evil. Again, he hates sin. So it says, "For a cup of his wrath is in his hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed and fully spiced. And he pours out from it. All the wicked of the earth must drain it and drink to its dredges." So it's talking about the payment of drinking the cup of wrath that the wicked have to do. But on the cross, Jesus drank this cup for us. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating drops of blood, this is what Jesus was fearing. When we look at the cross, we often think that Jesus feared the physical punishment. And we watch renditions of the cross and we see him being beat. We see him being mocked in a crown of thorns and nails and then suffering on the cross as he died there. But we often miss that Jesus had to drink this cup of wrath. And this is why in the garden, Jesus said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." He was fearing the cup of wrath. As he was drinking the cup of wrath, he was absorbing and taking on the full penalty of sin so that we could be at peace with God. And today, actually, you know what communion is called? It's called the cup of blessing. That's what it says in the Bible. Think about that. Jesus bore the cup of wrath and he drank that cup of wrath. And we get to take today a cup of blessing. It's a Good Friday. Right? When we talk about blessing, you know, the Bible said that we ultimately were under a curse because we had not withheld the law. But this is where in Galatians 3, it says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.'" Jesus took on this curse so that we can receive the blessings in Christ. That's what it says in Ephesians. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Whew, amen? This is a Good Friday. Every spiritual blessing. We deserved a curse. Jesus took that curse upon us, on him, so that we could experience every spiritual blessing through Christ. Because of our sin, we deserve separation from God. Again, ever since the Garden of Eden, this is what you see. Man does not stay in the garden. Man is cast out of the garden where man walked with God. And you see this separation. Not because God wants it, but because sin has entered the world and God cannot really dwell with sin. So God wants to dwell with his people, and you have, you know, he's dwelling with the Israelites in the temple, but even still there's a thick curtain, a huge curtain that separates the holy place and the people. And only once a year the high priest could enter the holy place after making appropriate sacrifices for sin. I think sometimes we think we're close in our own actions to belong in the presence of God, but we don't. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. Often I think we underestimate our sin and underestimate God's holiness. He is holy. Without the blood of Jesus, I don't belong in his presence. But he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And on the cross, there's this mystery, but Jesus prays, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In some sense, he's experiencing some kind of forsakenness from the Father as he's taking the sin on. John Stott said, "At the moment of his greatest agony, Jesus was deprived of the spiritual companionship of the Father." This is eternal Jesus experiencing this. We can never imagine what that would be like. Because we've never been perfect. It was for us that he was forsaken, and he endured that we might never be forsaken. And I love that one of the first acts when Jesus died is that veil was ripped in two. I like to think of it that God enthusiastically ripped that thing. Let's rip that veil. Not a neat tear, a ripping. Because the separation between God and man was gone. Because now, because of the blood of Jesus, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. You have confidence to be with God through the blood of Jesus. In our own actions, we do not deserve to be there, but we can be close to God. Ephesians said, we were far away, but now by the blood of Jesus, we've been brought near. We're near to God. The separation is gone. Hallelujah. You know, the separation too, it wasn't just in proximity, it was a relational separation. You know, if you look at Israel, God wanted a relationship with Israel, but Israel constantly rejected this. Constantly would give themselves to other idols, and God was saying, you're committing adultery, you're rebelling. And Isaiah 53, it says that was all of us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned our own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we were enemies of God because of our sin. But Jesus was treated as though he was an enemy of God. That's what people thought. Man, God's really getting him on the cross. This is justice right here. No, that's what we deserved. And he made this exchange to be treated like an enemy of God, even though he was God, so that we might be right with him. In Romans 5, it says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through his death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Now through Christ, you're reconciled to God. You can say, hey, Father, hey, Dad. And if you've given your life to Christ, that's accurate. That's not a fib. That's not you pretending. He's your Father. And it says in Ephesians that it was his great pleasure to adopt you as his children. I like to just make this picture of God rolling up at the orphanage. And he doesn't say, hey, Brenton, guess I have to take you in. I died for everyone. Get in the back seat. No, he wanted this. It was his great pleasure to adopt me. We're embraced with open arms. God wanted reconciliation with us. And what a privilege it is that we get to be called children of God. What great love God has lavished on us that we can be called children of God. We were enemies with God, and now we're adopted and beloved children. Praise God. We deserve death, but Jesus stayed on the cross, and because of love, he could have gotten off the cross, but he knew he had to die. And then he was raised to life and conquered death so that we could live eternally with him. Romans 6 says, 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, this is all a gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you look at most of these verses, it says in Christ, through Christ, because it's all Christ. Paul even said, I know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. Because we can't get anywhere with God without what happened today. Without this exchange, we would have no hope. But because of Christ, we have hope. Paul said it as well, I boast in nothing else but the cross of Jesus Christ. So we as Christians, this is what we boast in. This is our hope, because all of us have fallen short. But because of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made, we get to make this great exchange. I want to bring up all these things, and you can look at the weekly that we sent out this week and get all these verses as well. But as we take communion today, let's remember that, you know, let's bring up our guilt and our sin. Let's remember that we can have peace with God, blessing with God, that veil has been torn so that we can be brought near to God by the blood of Jesus, that we are adopted and that we can live with God forever. This is the exchange that we're remembering. And before we take communion, I just want to say communion, there's so much more that's going on than drinking some juice and eating some bread. Communion is a remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus made. But not just a passive remembrance, it's an active communion and participation with God. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" And so we get to participate with Christ because he's living. Newsflash, Sunday's coming, and we don't have to pretend like he hasn't risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. And so we get to participate with God and have communion with him today.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.